begin with today, I want a little help. If you wouldn't mind, just share a little bit. I'd like to kind of enjoy the season together for just a moment. And one of the great things about Christmas, at least for me, is the music. You know, that so many of the radio stations turn things over to Christmas music at this time of year. I'm sure they do it for marketing purposes because people want to listen to that kind of music and advertisers want you to tune into their station. But it's great when you go to the radio dial and you can hear Christmas, festive Christmas music. It's great to get out that box of special records, CDs, tapes, go to that certain section on your phone and enjoy the holiday music. But I just wanted to ask, with that in mind, you know, what's your, oh, by the way, I want some sharing, but if the answer to this question is simply having a wonderful Christmas time, please keep that to yourself. But other than that, what's your favorite Christmas song? Just a few, anybody, what's your favorite Christmas song? Oh, Holy Night. Joy to the World. Silent Night. Angels We Have Heard on High. The Chipmunks' Christmas. Thank you. Somebody went secular. I was waiting. It was my own daughter, by the way. But anyway. Somebody else? Mary, Did You Know? Good one. I think that's my wife's favorite. Anything from the tableau. That's a good answer. Yeah. Any others? Anybody else? Any others? Yes. Come All You Faithful. Yeah. Anybody else have a favorite? The First Noel. You know, the thing about the First Noel, it's a great hymn, but if you look in the hymnal, there's like 20 verses. And sometimes it's hard to figure out which ones to leave out, because it tells the story. It's one of those hymns that tells the story. We don't sing that as often. True confessions. We don't sing that one as often, simply because there are so many verses. And, you know, half the service will be singing that one hymn. And usually when we do it, we cut out a few of the verses. But yeah, that's a great one. One that tells the whole story. Yeah. Little Drummer Boy. You know, when I was a little kid, that was my favorite. That open fifth drum, drum, drum. I love that. I played that all the time. Yeah. We Three Kings. Cool. We're talking about Emmanuel this Christmas season. And remember, I told you how to say that in Hebrew. Im Anu El. Im Anu El. Im meaning with. Anu meaning we or us, and El meaning God. With us, God. Implied in that is. We translate that God with us, or really, God is with us. The implication of that phrase is that this is expressing a reality. God is with us. Our Christmas carol clue that I'm using today comes from Joy to the World. Let every heart prepare him room. We have real hearts. Now, I realize that you use heart in a symbolic sense. You let every heart prepare him room. It really means our inner self, our real self, the center of who we are, our soul, our heart, who we really are, the me that goes beyond this physicalness, but is certainly linked, tied, and part and parcel with that physicalness. Let every heart prepare him room, and that we're preparing for something real, not something imagined. From the story that Thomas read so beautifully for us, the phrase I want to focus on today is what the angel said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. He'd be afraid because taking home a wife who was pregnant, not by him, would be something that an unrighteous man, a man who doesn't keep the law, would do. To do that would reflect badly on him, and he was a law-abiding kind of guy. And the angel says, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, a very real thing to do. Either you do or you don't. Either you put her away quietly, as you plan to do, or you reverse course and you bring her home. That's a very real thing that he was supposed to do in the real world. Don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Why? Because she's part of a happy story that's going to make people smile. Because you got to go along with this fable, or else things are going to go bad for her. No. What does he say? Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle, but it is a real miracle, as real as the birth of a child, as real as the conception of a human being. This is real. God is with you. God is with us. One of the songs that I like at Christmas time is I'll Be Home for Christmas. You know that song? Written in 1943, which really makes it all the more poignant. I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and, come on, sing along, mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas. Here comes the punchline. If only in my dreams. What's going on here? Is he at home? Is he gonna be at home? No. He's gonna be at home in his dreams. It's a punchline tragedy to this beautiful song. God's message for us today. And I will start by telling you I'm cautious with this. We need to be careful with this kind of language. We need to be careful not to call God says what is really Jay says, or what is really you say. And people are guilty of this all the time. This God says, God has spoken, God wants this kind of language can be very dangerous. A tool that somebody can use to manipulate others. You need to do this because God says. Which is why it's important that we have the scriptures. Really? God says that? Well, let's check it out in His Word. You know, when people, by the way, when people come and say, you know, God told me this for you. He says, you need to come over and wash my car today. You know, but a lot of times people will say, well, I think God is telling you to do this. And sometimes it can be something very specific. People that are really in touch with the Holy Spirit. And I'm great with that, but my standard line for someone that comes and tells me something that is, I say, that is great. You pray that God tells me that. And just because you're telling me that, I can't really tell if that's really God or if that's your imagination. I don't doubt that you believe it, but you know, God is big enough that if He's telling you for me, He could also tell me. And that's my standard response to that kind of thing. We need to be careful with this. We can't call God's revelation what is really Jay's imagination. It's too easy to use God for our purposes instead of vice versa. But, and this is where we live in the angst of a real world. Because if we just go with that, if our final word is, well, we're too messed up to be able to say God says, because it might be us instead of God. If we leave it at that, that's actually more dangerous than just going with the God says stuff, especially since we have the scriptures. Because we believe in a God of power and revelation who is alive and active today. The alternative is to think that God simply does not speak to us in any meaningful way today. Or if He does, we're too dumb to ever, ever, ever get it. And this effectively muzzles God. And that is more dangerous. I know a God who seems to give me some of my best ideas while I'm asleep. And I woke up one day with a song and a simple message for today in my mind. The song, I'll Be Home for Christmas. And the message is, don't let this happen to you. Let's revise some of our Christmas hymns, some that you've mentioned. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. If only in my dreams. How about, silent night, sleep in heavenly peace. If only in my dreams. Oh, come, all ye faithful. Oh, come, let us adore Him. If only in my dreams. See what happens? And I think we sometimes sing those Christmas songs through that I'll be home for Christmas filter. It's a nice dream. It's a happy thought. Jesus' words. Not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. What is this will? To be perfect people, to keep all the law? No, you got to read this in context. The will of God is that we would accept Jesus, that we would receive what God gives us in Jesus, that we would accept the reality of Emmanuel. God is with us as a reality in our own lives by faith. This ultimate tragedy can be avoided because of Emmanuel, because God is with us and not only in my dreams. One of the traditions in our house at Christmas time, and I think it's in many others, is the Christmas stockings. You know, you put the stockings out by the fireplace, and on Christmas morning, they have stuff in them for the kids. Don't say anything to my kids if they're here, but Mom and I actually put the stuff in. Don't tell them. They still believe it. But how would it be if on Christmas morning, you just left the stockings empty and said, okay, dig in. What's in there? Oh, look, a toy just what I wanted. Oh, look, an orange. Oh, look, candy. If only in my dreams. It'd be cruel. It's real stuff in there. And then you dig deeper. Generally, you find more stuff. And sometimes way down in the bottom is the best stuff of all. You keep digging. I think God calls us to keep digging with this Emmanuel stuff. You don't know what really awaits you as you keep digging by faith into the reality of Emmanuel. Last week we talked about the word with and talked about it being more than just the word near, and that part of that with is this idea of mutual penetration. That I'm in your life, you're in my life, God is in my life, I am in God's life, I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. This withness. Now, with in the world doesn't last. Flowers, commemorating one of the most wonderful musicians that I have ever had the privilege of knowing and working with. And she was with us for many years, and she is not with us now. And that was a good relationship. With in this world does not last. But in Emmanuel, the with lasts forever. Because the is an eternal is. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. If you love me, Jesus says, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." How do we get home? Well, by God's will, and that's good news, but also by our will in response. Romans 10, 1 through 13. "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses described in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, 'Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead.' But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you will help us to hear these things and that they will grow in our hearts, grow in our minds, that the truth of your real presence, your real work accomplished for us, your real grace will affect our reality. Here and now, in this partnership with you that is our life, and into eternity, because you have accomplished for us all that needs to be done for us to get in on your victory and share your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Home for Christmas? What's the singer's problem? 1943, Bing Crosby, and whoever else since then. Inaccessibility. He can't get home. He wants to get home. He longs for home. He's going home in his dreams. But in reality, he's out in the European battlefield somewhere. Inaccessibility. He can't get home. But the real singer's real problem is confusion. For our purposes, this idea that we can't get home, part of our problem is confusion. We don't know where home is. People in our world today don't know where home is. Where is the human heart finally and fully at home? Not in some very attractive places, not at home. The place at our address can't bear that kind of pressure. If 1651 Glen Oaks Drive needs to be fully and finally my home, where I am finally at rest, at peace, where everything is the way it should be, shalom, my house cannot bear that kind of pressure. It cannot live up to that. When the roof starts leaking, when people don't get along, which has happened occasionally, I think about 5 years ago, last time. Yeah, 5 minutes ago. It can't bear that kind of pressure. It can be a great place to live. But if I expect it to be my full and final home, it will burst under that ultimate pressure. Not in the world. How much snow, how much mistletoe, and how many presents on the tree would it take to satisfy us? I mean, to me, Christmas lists is a wonderful picture of the fact that the world is not the place where we're going to find our ultimate satisfaction. Because last year I wanted something for Christmas. When I was a kid, every year I wanted something for Christmas. I made a list. I went through the Sears catalog. And you know the funny thing is, next year when Christmas rolled around, I had another list. I had to have more. How much do I need? Answer, more. Like you can read at the sandwich shop down here, the gap between enough and more never closes. That's the world we live in. If you want the world to be your full and final home, you're going to be frustrated and disappointed. And not with the law. We are not at home in the law. We're not at home in a place where we finally have enough rules that we can make it all work. Because the fact of the matter is, for us broken human beings in a fallen world, every law just gives us one more rule to break. You make another rule to kind of protect the rule you made before, and there's another one to break. And then we are rule breakers by nature. Nobody had to teach me to do that. We have a grandson living in our house. It's a funny thing. He's very young. He could not have learned this, I don't think. I mean, he could have, but he just hasn't had enough experience to know that when somebody tells him not to do something, that becomes something he wants to do. Right, Mom? Right, Dad? I mean, you'd have to teach him that. It's like, you say no, and it's like, really? That looks pretty good. It's in our nature. The law cannot be the place for our full and final home. We are finally and fully at home. Are you ready? This is not going to shock you. In God. Thou hast made us for thyself, and the heart of man is restless until it finds its rest in thee. One of the most famous quotes from a very quotable man named St. Augustine. Can we get home for Christmas? Can we get to God? Yes, through incarnation. You know, one of the disturbing realities in our culture in America here today is the proliferation right now of zombie stuff. Zombies are really popular right now, apparently. I have to do more study on it, but I do think it's fascinating, this idea of trying to, you know, in whatever form, the undead. I suppose vampires might fall under the same kind of category. They're very popular today. I'm not quite sure what the fascination is with that. It may be, again, a way of beating death. If only in my cinematographic dreams. But what if there were a real person, an alive person, who came and lived among the monsters? And by what that person did, made them so they weren't zombies, they weren't the undead, but rather they came alive. You know, this is a storyline that's very popular. I Am Legend, I think, a movie a couple of years ago, is all about that. If you have that one or have a chance, go back and look at it again with theological glasses on. It's a Jesus story. Guy dying for the monsters. Living among the monsters who kill him, who want to kill him, viciously, and he's there to help them. And he does. Pinocchio wants to be a real boy instead of made out of wood. That's a gospel story. We can get home through incarnation because Jesus took on flesh, because Jesus lived among the monsters and worked successfully to save them. God is accessible. Home comes to us. But the righteousness that is by faith, Paul says in Romans 10, says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down. In other words, who can be good enough to make the trip, the quest, up to heaven, the champion, to bring him down? Actually, Jesus was that champion in his full humanness. Don't say, who can be good enough? Who can keep the law good enough to get up there? to get up there or down to bring him up from the dead. Who of us can achieve that? Don't say that, because that doesn't work. God is accessible because of what God says. Verse 11, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. How far away is God for salvation? As close as your next breath, as close as your next thought, as close as your ability to say, help me, God. I'm a sinner. I need your help. I can't do this. I can't climb up to heaven. Would you climb down and rescue me? That's how close. God makes his home in our hearts. That's pretty close. In the depths of the real me, the center of who I am, that's where God, by his Holy Spirit, comes and takes up residence in me. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, John 14:20. And you are in me, and I am in you. Jesus replied, verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. See, God sings, I'll be home for Christmas to us. And it ain't just in his dreams. God is with us. Can we get home for Christmas? Can we get to God? Yes. Because God gets home to us first. With two wonderful results. First, we can stop trying in vain to be at home in the wrong places. We can stop being a legalist, trying to make our home in the law, trying to say one day to God, I have made a good home here for me and for you in the law. Therefore, you owe me. We all want to be able to do that. It's a lie. We cannot. And because of Emmanuel, because God makes his home in us, we can stop vainly trying to be at home in the hard, cold, oppressive law. Brothers, my heart's desire, Romans 10, and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. It's based on fantasy. It's only in their dreams. I'll be perfect for Christmas. I'll keep every law. I'll be so good, God, that you'll owe me heaven. And you'll have no choice but to save me, if only in my dreams. It's not real. It's not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God in Jesus Christ and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. See, when Jesus showed up, they thought he was a lawbreaker. They killed him. And they thought they were being righteous in doing so. Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness. God's righteousness given to them, imputed to them, not their own, and to make demands on God, but rather God imputes his righteousness in Christ to them for everyone who believes. Sin separates us from God. Sin is the result of ignorance. And what the legalist fails to realize is that pride is the worst of sins. So we can stop trying in vain to be at home in this wrong place of the law, and we can stop trying in vain to be at home in this lost, sad, and broken world. Jesus in John 14, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. He says, how come you show yourself to us and not to the world? Essentially, he's saying, I am showing myself to the world. The difference between you and them is that you will obey me. You will belong to me. You will say yes to me. And one of the ways that you were going to see that that yes is real is that you will obey me. Your obedience doesn't purchase your salvation. Your obedience is just your wisdom in cahoots with me because I am in you. Do you see the difference? Obedience is actually very smart. Living the way God says we can and should live is the best way to live. It doesn't buy your salvation. It is a sign of your salvation. It's the additional blessing that God gives us. Obedience is the additional blessing that God gives us. We're saved, and so we do what God says, and it turns out that's a good way to live. The best way to live. Not at home in the world, but at home in God. And so reflecting that in the way we choose to live in the world. And we can start singing and keep singing, "Let every heart prepare him room," and mean it. Can the living God get home in us? Can we get home for Christmas? Yes, in confident hope with this ultimate reality. When God is at home in our hearts, we are on our way home to God. How do we get home to God? How does God come home to us? By the irresistible power of God's gracious goodwill and by our faithful response to God's work for us. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. By confession, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. By faith, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. By invitation, trust in him. Call on him. Call on the name of the Lord, Emmanuel. That's the name. Emmanuel. God is with us. These things, confess, believe, invite, there's a difficulty. You know, when we invite people to say yes to Jesus in a public setting, when people go forward at Billy Graham crusades or whatever, I don't know about you, but I think oftentimes we feel this sort of, this reticence, this little bit of caution. Don't want to be manipulated. Don't want to be foolish. But I think the question boils down to this. Saying yes to Jesus, it seems too easy. We really, in our brokenness, we think we ought to be able to do a bunch of push-ups. We ought to go on a quest. We ought to kill a dragon to earn our way. The gospel says, set that aside. Just say yes to Jesus. And in our brokenness, I don't know. So someone says, just say yes. Just invite Jesus into your heart. And we think, oh, well, that just sounds like fantasy. You know, only in your dreams. But there's the question. Is that faith, that expression of faith, that invitation, Jesus, come and live in my heart. Jesus, please forgive me for my sins, that sinner's prayer. Is that confessing, yes, I believe. I don't believe perfectly, but I choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He came for me and for us. He came to die for my sins. He died on the cross. I've got enough evidence to say yes to that stuff and that is for me. The question is that real? Or is that kind of the Christian dream? And if it's a Christian dream, that's like reaching into the empty stocking. You know, dummies do that. And we don't want to be dummies. There's the question. And the question is, Emmanuel, God is with us? Are we just blowing nice, spiritual, moral, religious smoke? Emmanuel, the name, says this is real. So, have you made a real statement for Jesus? Have you really invited him into your heart? If so, praise God. If you haven't, and you'd like to do that today, I would invite you to come and join me up here. We do this periodically. We're going to do this periodically because this is what the church is about. And context of worship is a great place and time for this. But if today you'd like to say yes to Jesus Christ because he's real, Emmanuel, and he's really in your life, and you've never had a chance to do this publicly, I would invite you to come right now and join me up here. I won't make you do anything embarrassing. Just say yes to Jesus by standing with me. Anybody want to do that today? There'll be more opportunities later next year. Mary, you want to join me? Wonderful. Thank you. Now Mary can say that she came forward at a Covenant Presbyterian Church crusade. Thank you. Yes. Mary, who's your Lord and Savior?
Jesus.
Do you believe that God raised him from the dead?
Yes.
Is he your Lord and Savior?
Yes, he is.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you saved?
Yes.
Do you need to be a good girl?
No, I'm not. But I don't need to be a good girl. I want.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your child, Mary, who has made a public statement for you here today. I thank you for the blessing that you have given to her by your presence in her. I thank you that she is safe and sound now and forever in you. I thank you that she doesn't have to be a good girl, but she's a pretty good girl. And I pray that you would help her to grow in you. I pray that you would help her to continue to walk in freedom and trust on that foundation that you have provided for her, that is your life, your love, your grace, and your completed work of salvation. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.